If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
We're talking about the brawl in the hall tonight at Memorial Hall. All right. Jake, go ahead now. See, we try to... Yeah, we try to take care of people, right?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
See?
Okay.
That's
now
how we do stuff, right?
Now I know you're doing it right.
Uh-huh.
You got the anthem going
that's
on.
That's right. That's right.
That's a good move right there.
Right.
That's a great way to start the morning.
That's Fernando Vargas, plays from Vicente Fernandez. You walk through the ring to this song.
Yep.
And so I try to express to Nate and people like what this song means and how much it means. And it's an anthem. Now they play it at big fights, at Mexican fights. It's in between to get the crowd going.
Yeah.
And you used to walk to the ring to this. So, in your own words, Fernando Vargas, a boxing legend, why did this song mean so much to you and you played it walking to the ring?
This is a song that's basically to a woman.
Right.
It's basically to a woman saying that, you know, they hit me up and they're telling me that, you know, they're gonna kill me because I'm talking to you. But I want you to know that the only person that could take my life is God. And I'm not scared of any man on this earth. And even if I'm dead, beat, messed up, jacked up, I don't know how to quit. I don't know how to say no mas. So actually the story behind the song is my trainer, when I was world champion, my trainer, mi jefe, el señor Eduardo Garcia, while I was in camp, I think for the Icor T fight, and he goes, Fernando, I want you to listen to this song. And I go, and he played it in the living room of my house up in Big Bear when I had my camps up there. And he played it and it gave me goosebumps. He goes, I want you to know this is your song. This is yours. And I go, wow. So from that point on, I started using it. And everybody, you know, then we have, you know, people that want to use it, but, you know, then they quit. And it's like, well, how you're doing something that my song says that you'll never do. Because, you know, you're saying that you will not quit, that even if I'm beat up, jacked up, lost. I don't know how to quit. I can't say no mas. I don't know that word. And so, you got fighters that have used it. I'm not gonna say no names. That have quit. And came out with my song. We're like, bro, did you not hear the song that you came out with? You're not supposed to do that.
And if you see the video, you look up the video on YouTube of Vicente Fernandez, he's singing to the girl up on the balcony. And you got the guy down there that's pissed off, you know, that's threatening him. And he's got a smile on his face. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to keep coming.
Long as he goes, he's telling the girl, as long as you want me there.
Right.
I'm going to be there. And don't worry about, you know, what they're saying that they're going to take away my life. I'm not worried about nothing. He goes, the only person that can take my life away is God. So even if I'm beat up, messed up, jacked up, like by people, like beat up, hurt or beaten, I don't know how to say, no mas. I don't know how to quit. I don't know how to like just not. I'm gonna still be there.
Right.
So then he goes,
it's not even an option.
So then not even an option. He goes, so do you know the time? You know the place where I'm at. Where we always meet. I'm gonna be there. Don't worry about it. What they say, what these long tongue guys, you know, big mouths say that they're going to take them. The only person that can take my life is God.
And see, I always thought, like, the way I interpreted it, very similar, is like, you know, as long as she wants him there, as long as the fans want you in the ring, that's what you're going to do.
Yes.
They're the fans. You're going to fight for the fans. You're going to fight for the Mexican fans, all the boxing fans, and quitting's not an option. And that's what you're fighting for.
Yep, I don't know.
So Fernando Vargas in studio, and also Kenzie Morrison in studio, Nate Bucati.
So Steven has taught me a lot about the different cultures in boxing, and he's always he really impressed upon me that in the Mexican boxing community that is valued more than anything else.
Yes.
You are expected to sacrifice everything.
Well, I mean, it's like it depends on what type of man you are. I mean, it's not going to fit everybody. You know, like my jefe, Senor Eduardo Garcia goes, would be like, Fernando, not everybody could be like us. Like if everybody was like us, then everybody would be dead. Because you're not going to take, you know, certain people are not going to take stuff. You know, certain people are not going to take disrespect. Some people will get disrespected. Some people, you know, it doesn't matter to them. You know what I mean? It's just, fighting is not an option for them. You know, and then you got people like us that's all we do is fight. That we're brought up fighting. That, we fight with our brothers and sisters. Or we fight with people who used to knock on my door to fight me. And I don't like people. And I know people like, before I started boxing, people would knock on my door to fight me. I'm like, and I'd be eating my soup. I'm eating my soup after school, and then I'm like, I'm eating my soup after school, and then and my sister, and then they're knocking the door, and then my sister opens the door and goes, Fernando, Cochise is here to fight you, and there's a bunch of people in front of me. I go, who? Cochise. And I'm like, okay. And so I go outside, and there's a bunch of kids in front of my mom's house, and I jump over, and he's in the next door neighbor's house, in the next door neighbor's lawn. I jump over, and I bing him up, and go bump, 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 and I go back into the house, and I finish my soup before it got cold. So, but to me,
poor Cochise, I don't know.
Yeah, poor Cochise. And so,
didn't give me soup.
And, right. I'm sure my soup was hot. So right. I like my soup hot, and so. You know, it's like when people tell me, I've never been in a street fight in my life. I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. It's just like I'm walking down the street with my best friend. People would be honking at us and dogging us. And, hey, man, what's up? Well, what's up? And then they get out the car, and me and my best friend Smurf, we bing them up, and then we go continue walking to the mall. It's like when people tell me, I've never been in a street fight in my life, I'm like, how is this possible? You know, but it's good people that, I mean, you know, hey, something maybe we're just drawn or it's attracted to us that people want to fight us. I don't know what it is.
Everybody wants to test themselves.
Right. Everyone wanted to test themselves against you, you know, when you got the reputation. And so last night was, man, you made me laugh out loud. So Joe Kelly is in the studio with us and Kenzie Morrison. So, Joe, you went and you wanted to embarrass me, which that's fine. It's easy to do. And so what did you go and tell Fernando when we were?
So when we watched, pardon me, I don't remember the year, but we all got together watching you fight Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
And we went through and Steve probably wore an outfit that was inspired by you for a whole week.
I had my Fernando t-shirt.
So we get to the fight goes on and he's so excited. Because you were piecing De La Hoya up. You were killing him.
Yep.
And then he got caught, and we all know what happens. Yeah. But Steve started crying in the middle when we left.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But he told Fernando last night, he goes, Steve cried when you lost to De La Hoya, and Fernando goes, I cried too. So I felt better.
For real, I cried too. When people go, hey, man, I was, I betted on you, man, you know, when you fought Oscar, and, you know, man, you know, I lost my money. I go, I lost more, right?
Right,
right, right, right, right, right, right. But then I go, but then they tell me, no, man. But you know what? You give a hell of a fight, and you were whooping them from the first round all the way to the round that got stopped. And I go, look, it happens. Boxing is protect yourself at all times. At the end of the 10th round, you know, I dropped my hand. He was already coming in motion with the left hook. It was my fault, and he hurt me. And when he hurt me, he tried to get me out of there, and he couldn't do it. It happens. You know what I mean? It's just boxing. You just protect yourself at all times. But if if it goes decision, I don't care what anybody says. There's no way that he could have said that he won that decision. You know, like, if it would have been a decision, it would have been the pressure that I'm putting on from round one all the way to round 12. You cannot say that he won that fight. But, yeah, it's boxing. You know what I mean? So it happens. You know what I mean? Like, I think that everything that happened in my career, it serves as a good, you know, stepping stone. I mean, a learning curve. A learning curve. So that way, whatever happens to my, I make sure that my kids are not going to jump into big fights right away. Look, I could have lasted longer as boxing, but it's what champions do.
You were world champ at 21. Yeah,
21 years.
21 years old.
Youngest junior middleweight champion in boxing history. 21 years, 5 days. And, you know, I fought Yuri Boy Campos with 78-1, 68 knockouts, and I only had 14 fights. Now everybody and their mother thinking like they could, I was going to be able to beat him. And, you know, and there was a story behind that, that I fought. I mean, I sparred Yuri Boy Campos when I was an Olympian. I was going to the Olympics already. I was already number one in the United States going to the Olympics. And, you know, we would always go to L.A., me and, you know, Robert Garcia and the Garcias and, you know, Jefe Big G would go to L.A. to spar. And why? Because, you know, you're going to go out to spar the best. You know what I mean? Because in Oxnard, we already beat everybody. So, you know, we would go to L.A. and spar, you know, professionals, great fighters. And one day I sparred Yuri Boy Campos, and he was world champion, and he played with me. He played with me, and I was like, I was so mad. I was so mad. I was crying on the way back home. And he goes, and my, you know, my FFB Jew's like, he goes, why are you crying? I go, because I can't believe this guy, you know, messed me up. You know, and he goes, Fernando, this guy's a world champion. What do you expect? He goes, I go, hell no. And nobody goes, one day he's going to pay for this. And so with 14 fights, he was, you know, I was able to become the youngest junior champion in boxing history.
Fernando Vargas is in studio with us. He's going to be at ringside tonight for the big fights at Memorial Hall. And on the card in the ring is going to be Kenzie Morrison's son and Tommy the Duke Morrison. And you fought in Kansas City before. But so Kenzie, when you hear these stories from a guy like Fernando Vargas, who's been at the top of the boxing world, and to hear those stories, and he's going to be there tonight watching you in the ring, what goes through your mind? Because you're building your career right now. You're an undefeated heavyweight. You hope to get to those heights.
Yeah,
when you hear those stories, what goes through your mind? Because I mean,
just sitting here soaking them in,
right?
Really, yeah. I'm just kind of trying to take them in, and you know, it means a lot to be able to fight in front of, you know, him and the crowd here in Kansas City. And I'm just excited and pumped.
And so, and I told the story. I told you this last night. You know, my dad's going to be there tonight, and he took me to see your dad fight twice in 1989 at Memorial Hall, the same building that we're going to be in tonight. And to know that the your dad fought there when he was building his career.
Yeah.
Very similar to the way you're building your career in the same venue. That's got to be a tremendous feeling, a special connection that you'll have tonight when you step in that ring.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel it. And being in some of the same locker rooms and just thinking back. And it's kind of eerie but also cool at the same time.
So you're talking about your kids and what you want to, you know, teach them. Kenzie, we're talking about your dad. I'm curious what it's like carrying that name with you all the time. Do you consider that, is it ever a burden or anything like that, the fact that, you know, you're going to be constantly, like, your dad's going to be brought up all the time when you fight, or is
yeah,
it?
There's some pressure, and, yeah, and there's always that comparison there and stuff, yeah, but for the most part, it's just kind of, it's motivation that's always
yeah
there.
Yeah, man, his dad was a monster.
Yeah.
So it's definitely motivating to have that there, and then the comparison obviously fuels the drive to train and hard and try to be the best that I can. So I try to use it as a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Fernando, is it hard at all to watch your son fight, or is it? Do you get more nervous
when
you used to fight?
Let me tell you, when I was in the fight, I never got nervous. Uh-huh. Look, I'm not gonna lie. After I lost to Trinidad, my next fight was, you know, in the Don Haskins Center in El Paso, Texas. I sold out the Don Haskins Center, and I just lost. I never touched this canvas in my life as an amateur pro, and then here I go down 5 times against Trinidad, and not even knowing I get up all 5 times, and I didn't even know that I went down 5 times and I got up all 5. But that's the man in me. That's the man that I made up, my DNA. But you know, after that fight, the next fight, like I said, after my fight with Trinidad, the fight with Roberto Rivera, I remember having these butterflies in my stomach so bad. I was like, whew, you know what I mean? And I got knocked down again, but I got up and I knocked him out. But you know, that's just boxing, you know what I mean? And me seeing my son fight, I'm not gonna lie, I get a little nervous. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know,
I know,
it's like,
because you can't control that.
Yeah, I'm like, I get
alone,
but Emiliano, like, if anybody's gonna be world champion, I'm telling my sons this in their faces because, you know, I see that they, you know, BS sometimes and they don't want to, you know, they're like, I'm like, what do you, when, you know, you're supposed to be in the gym. Oh, you know, it's just that I had to go get a haircut and stuff like that. I'm like, what in the world? You know what I mean? Like, you know, boxing has to be your girl. Boxing has to be your girl. You got to treat your girl right by not going out on your girl, by not drinking on your girl, not doing drugs on your girl, you know, because it's going to show in the ring. And so, you know, Emiliano, he takes it to another, El General Emiliano Fernando Vargas. He's better than I was at his age, better than I was. I was the youngest national champion at 16, open division. And but this guy, he fights amateur. I mean, he fights orthodox and southpaw like nothing. Like, he knows how to, just like Crawford. You know, me, I knew how to, you know, I turned southpaw just for a second, just so he could throw the right hand, and I'll step back and come back to orthodox and come back with the right, left, right hand, left hook, right hand, called the dos tres dos. But this guy, I want him to say a few words, you know what I mean? Because he's here and,
oh, yeah.
And he came with me, you know, I bring him along these things and I tell him, one day it's gonna be all you. Because he's dedicated. He listens. He's a 6-time national champion, number one in the United States. And, you know, he's the next. Look, I tell Junior, because Junior's doing great. Junior, you know, got into trouble a little bit. As, you know, some people get in trouble early in life, like I did. Some people get in trouble a little bit later. He did. And, you know, he got caught up. He did a year in jail, and he came out totally different and which he needed. You know, he went in. And so now, you know, he's doing great. He's looking amazing. I'm going to turn pro in the beginning of next year. He's knocking out everybody's, but he's stopping these guys with headgears, you know, knocking these guys down or hurting them, you know, with headgears and big gloves. So just imagine what he's going to do as a pro. But Emiliano is another thing. You know, Emiliano just, El General Emiliano Fernando Vargas. I got my second son, Amado, too, that's number 6 in the United States. But sometimes he BS's. And I tell him, you got to give this your all. I tell him like this. I'm going to show you an example how boxing was not something that I played. I was 12 years old when the boss started fighting. And I was locked up in juvenile, hundreds of hours of community service. I saw amateur boxing on TV. I found out where La Corona Boxing Gym was. I walked 3 miles as a 12-year-old kid every day. It took me an hour to get there one way, an hour to get back another way, by myself. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, I became the youngest national champion of boxing history in open division. They changed the rules because kids were getting stopped. So now it's 17 now, 17 years old for you to be an open fighter, for you to fight, be able to fight with men from 17 all the way to 32 years of age. So I tell my kids, you got to give it your all. If you don't give it your all, then they go, people are already going to be thinking that you guys are not good enough. They're like, the only reason that they're famous or they got some clout is because of his dad. But I go, but you have an opportunity to do greater things. I already opened the door. Just like Mackenzie, his dad opened the door for him. He needs to be grateful that his dad did that because, you know, people want to see, you know, what he got, you know, and I heard he's a great talent himself. So I want to see, and I know that the world's going to see, you know, what my kids are going to be, you know, one day. So I want him to say a few things, you know, because, you know, and I pump him up because I tell him, you're the future of boxing. You know, if anybody's going to carry the torch, it's going to be you. I tell Junior, don't mess it up for your brother. I said, you know, because he's first, right? He's first, right? So he's Junior. So I go, pick the Junior you want to be. Pick the Junior you want to be. Floyd Mayweather Jr. or Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Pick the Junior you want to be.
And so we'll talk to your son in the next segment. And so Kenzie, listen, you're nodding, listening to those things because you're listening to him talk about his son fighting. And so you're going to be fighting tonight, and you're an undefeated heavyweight. I think one of the cool things right now about the heavyweight division is there's more excitement in the United States because you got Deontay Wilder. You know, Andy Ruiz upset the world, and and then went on the Joe Rogan podcast and said his favorite fighter was Fernando Vargas. But this is a great time to be a heavyweight, and there's a lot of excitement in the heavyweight division. And I think Andy Ruiz showed. I mean, if you got on the right night, you step in the ring. I mean, you can make great things happen, right? Yeah,
definitely.
And so, how excited are you to see that? Because you know, for a long time it was overseas, the European heavyweight, and then the Klitschko's had it. Now it seems like it's coming back to the United States.
Yeah, and it's got some, you know, pizzazz to it. The heavyweight division finally coming back, and excited about it. Excited to be a part of it.
And so,
the heavyweight fight, the best fight I've seen in a long, long time was, what was that, last week?
Chris Arreola,
yeah. Adam Kosnatsky. Those guys punched the hell out of each other for like 12 rounds, wasn't it?
Yeah, they set a heavyweight record for most punches thrown in 12 rounds. It was a slugfest. But so for you, somebody asked me this, so I ask you this. Did you watch, like, we were talking yesterday to Quatavius was in here and talked about his opponent. He said he doesn't watch any film. It's about him when he goes to the ring. So did you watch film of your dad fighting and take anything away from it? Are you strictly a different style?
I watched it growing up.
Okay.
You know, all growing up,
right.
I watched it kind of emulated mine.
But like now, do you look at that from a strategic standpoint and see how he handled himself in the ring as a heavyweight, or are you just totally your own fighter as far as your style and what you bring to the ring?
Well, I'm a little different. My style's a little different anyways. I'm more of a boxer, try to stay outside instead of try to get inside and bang with some of the bigger guys. So it's a little different. We kind of develop my own style and not try to stay away from that completely, because you kind of have to fight like that inside sometimes, but... For the most part, it's a little different.
What do you know about your opponent? Also, an undefeated heavyweight tonight. Have you, like, what do you know about him?
We watched film of his last fight. Whenever I fought up here last time, and that was really about it. Other than we know his record, we know he was a bare knuckle boxing champion. Other than that, we're just gonna come bring it to him.
And so, Fernando, when you hear talking about building his career, and you talk about your sons. What advice do you give to a young fighter, whether it's Kenzie, whether it's an amateur fighter out there listening right now, or one of your own sons, when they're in the game as a young man? Because you know as well as I do, if you're not surrounded by the right people, the sport can eat you up and spit you out. What advice do you give to a young
fighter? Like I tell my kids, I go, I'm not going to throw you in with big fighters right away. Yes, you know, I, as a fighter, as a champion, fought and became world champion at 21 years, 5 days, youngest gentleman with champion in boxing history, but I beat 5 world champions, Jordi Bocampos, Ramon Marquez, Winky Wright, Aquarte, Javier Castillo. But, and the 4 that beat me, didn't walk away saying it was easy, but I tell him like this, look at how Mayweather was able to milk the sport. He fought Pacquiao, and maybe it was a little later than it was supposed to be, but how much money did he make? And they're calling him a chicken. Come on, man. Mayweather's not scared of nothing. He's, the best, fighter of this generation coming. He's done amazing for himself. So I tell my kids, I'm going to make the mistakes that I did. Also, I started drinking. I started partying, That was the worst thing I could have ever done. And I tell them, we have vices in our bloodline. From generational curses, because I'm a Christian man, and I'm not perfect by any means when I say that I'm a Christian man. We have generational curses of drug abuse, of lust, of alcoholism in our bloodline. I'm telling them, do not start messing around with stuff because you're going to like it. My mom, I pray for her every day. She's a functioning addict. So, I tell them, this is up to you. At the end of the day, you're your own man, and you're going to have to make those decisions when they come. And I hope that you understand that when they come, because you're going to have your fake friends and, you're going to have these, everybody loves their ego to be stroked. Especially when you're world champion and, you're the best, we're one of the best in the world. And so, I tell them, I'm going to always tell you the truth, son. I'm not ever lying to you. I always tell you what it is, and if these guys are just right here, trying to milk you or trying to find a way and avenue to try to steal from you, do not party. If you're going to be with women, be with women, but be with them without drinking. You don't have to. You don't need to do that. You know what I mean? And even women, I tell them, you know what women are? And then he goes, yeah, Dad, you told me. What? They're a distraction. Exactly. They're a distraction. So if you're going to be focused and you're gonna, boxing has to be your woman. Boxing has to be your lady. You got to treat her right, and she's going to treat you right. And they go, I already opened the door for you, son. Now, at the end of the day, it's what you're going to do with it.
We've got Fernando Vargas in studio, Kenzie Morrison in studio. We're going to talk to Fernando's son. More from Kenzie Morrison, Joe Kelly tonight, the brawl in the hall at Memorial Hall. You can call in right now. Caller number 8 gets 2 tickets to the fights tonight at Memorial Hall, 913-3810-810. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.